Welcome to the Hometown Bluegrass Show weekly podcast, presented by Allen Music Shop. Co-hosts Tim Batts and 20-time Bluegrass Guitar Player of the Year Josh Williams will talk about the latest bluegrass news, interview folks in the industry, and give you lighthearted stories and music tips along the way. Now, here's Tim and Josh.
Hey, Tim, here we are.
Hey, Josh, here we are.
Thank you, Dr. Jeff.
Man, that intro always just makes me feel so important, you know?
It does sound very professional.
It does. Maybe it's because he is a professional.
That's right.
That's probably what it is. But
we used to work for a guy all the time up in Ohio, and every time we'd talk with him, he says, I just love working with y'all because y'all are professional, professional, professional.
Well, there you go.
Super nice dude.
That's cool. Well, you have tuned in to the Hometown Bluegrass Show, and we thank you so much for joining us. If you're wondering about that fancy intro, the Hometown Bluegrass Show is also a radio show on the local classic country station, Willie 102 in Paducah, Kentucky. And that was their longtime DJ that's been there forever, Dr. Jeff Lawrence. And he's a dear friend of ours and did that little intro for us. So makes us sound good.
You know, he's married to Tracy Lawrence.
He is. That's it. Yeah.
Okay.
Not the country singer, Tracy.
No.
Just clearing that up.
It is a little confusing.
But. Yeah. It's funny. He's a country music DJ and married to Tracy Lawrence.
But, mm-hmm.
But anyway, we do appreciate Willie 102. And if you're in the Jackson Purchase region of Kentucky, you can find them and tune in to their music all the time. And we're glad you're here.
You can actually hear some bluegrass on there, too, every once in a while.
You can on Sunday nights, mm-hmm. for sure. As I play 1 hour of bluegrass on Sunday nights,
well,
from
yeah,
six to
true.
Seven. So, and that's the Hometown Bluegrass Show right there, boys.
Well, then what's this?
This is the Hometown Bluegrass Podcast.
Oh.
Yeah.
So how come I'm not on your show, but I'm on your podcast?
I've tried to get you on the show. You were on it one time, like, months and months ago.
Well, I remember that. I picked all the music.
Yeah.
That's like the best show you ever had.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It was all Josh Williams songs.
Oh, no, it was not.
I tried to get you on it. I'd love for you to be my my guest on there anytime. So.
Well,
the problem is you have to work a lot. So
yeah.
That work gets in the way of music, man. It stinks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of which, have you gotten to play much music? You didn't play this weekend anywhere, did you?
Not this past weekend, yeah. But you know, I did last weekend, and I will be going to Dumplin Valley, which is in Kodak, Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
and be playing there on Thursday. So that'll be fun. Fun time.
Yeah, it's a Thursday night gig, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Well, that'll be fun. You got to come back to your regular day job on Friday?
I'm going to do my best to do that because we're shorthanded. Yeah. So, you know, I want to be a team player, but who knows?
Yeah, that's tough.
I guess we'll all find out at the same time.
That's right. Well, we love hearing from our listeners. We did hear from a listener, and I wanted to bring his name up. We, on the Hometown Bluegrass Show Facebook page, we love to hear people give comments and talk to us and just requests on different artists and different things. And Jeff Walter sent us a message and said he, hey, Tim and Josh, I've been listening to your show for a while now. I have heard all 31 episodes and enjoy it immensely. So,
wow.
Yeah, I was impressed. But he said your most recent episode, Tim's story about the woman singing Amazing Grace, caught my attention when I mentioned the lady in the nursing mm-hmm. home that was, I thought she was out of it. And then she woke up when we started singing Amazing Grace. But he said he had a similar experience. And then Brad Paisley, the country singer legend, had a similar experience as well. And this Jeff Walter guy, he and his co-writing buddy, Mark Rossi. Do you know Mark Rossi?
Yeah, the name's familiar.
They wrote a song together about that situation, and it's called She Still Sings. And we might have to play that sometime soon. It's a really good song, but it's about that situation where you think she's kind of out of it in an assisted living type facility, but she still sings, you know. So
wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So, but we thanks, Jeff, for writing into that and letting us know that you listen. And, man, all 31 episodes, that deserves an award right there.
Yeah, he's listened to more than I've listened to.
That does not surprise me.
Oh,
that's hilarious. Oh, man. Well, we also had Seth wrote in and said, I want y'all to talk to John Metter. And I said, well, tell John Metter we'd love to talk to him. And he said, I just happen to have his number. So he's good friends with him, apparently. So he texts John. John said, I'd love to be on there. And so anyway, we'll hopefully have John Metter with Authentic Unlimited on here sometime pretty soon. So,
yeah, and I've had a couple of folks agree. Of course, we've talked about having Russell on here before, Russell Moore.
Yeah.
We just need to find the time to do that. And also got an okay from a good friend of mine from Bowling Green. He lives in Nashville now, but he's one of my mandolin heroes, Sam Bush.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, slight mandolin player there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can't wait to have Sam on. We've got a great show lined up tonight. We've got the great singer-songwriter Daryl Mosley going to be with us here in a little while, and even wrote one of your real popular songs, maybe your most popular song.
It's my most requested song.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I thought I heard you say that one time, but The Prodigal Son,
mm-hmm.
That you get asked to sing a lot, beautiful song. Daryl wrote that. We're going to talk to him here in a little while and hear what he's up to. And, man, we got Jonathan Keaton next Monday night. We got Steve Bruce coming up the Monday after that. And Kevin Prater the Monday after that.
So well, look at you.
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm getting
I'd
these
say
people
you are.
Booked. So we got Marty Rabin wants to be on, John Metter, and Sam Bush, Russell Moore. Man, we're gonna finish out the year with some great guests. And
I think so.
It'll be a lot of fun. So looking forward to all that nonsense.
Yes, absolutely.
So, but saw some sad news in the bluegrass world happen today. The passing of David Davis.
The leader of the Warrior River Boys.
Yep.
What a great guy. I've got to hang out with him a lot in times past, and had a lot of respect for the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And but apparently he was involved in a car accident, and he succumbed to his injuries.
Mm. Yeah, so sad. Mm. A lot of people were telling great stories about him earlier today, and I guess this just happened yesterday, but from Coleman, Alabama. He was only 63 years old, but I've been to Coleman, Alabama several times.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So,
we definitely want to keep his wife, who was also injured, but she is still in the hospital treated. But, you know, we definitely want to keep that family in our prayers. And for those of you prayer warriors out there,
yep.
Lift them up if you don't mind.
Sure.
They need it. And the guys in the band, too, because that's just a shock, you know. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody expected that. So.
Yep. Sad situation.
It really is.
So sad. Still a lot of life left to live and a lot of bluegrass music to play there, and missing out on a great talent.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
But the Lord needed him for something. That's why he called him home.
Yep.
So.
That's for sure. Well, good deal. We've got lots of other great stuff coming up in line. We're going to get Josh to play for you here in a little bit. We're going to see if you'll, since we got Daryl Mosley on the line tonight, we need to get you to play your Prodigal Son song for
yeah,
us. So
yeah, I'd be happy
to. Teach everybody how to play that and what key you do it in, and give us a good rendition of that. And we'll play some Prodigal Son for you. So
that's right.
But we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to learn how to play guitar.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, that's right. All right.
Maybe I'll learn something.
Yeah, maybe so. Well, we'll be right back right after this.
Discover the hidden gems of Kentucky's Great River Road, winding through Ballard, Carlisle, Hickman, and Fulton counties along the mighty Mississippi River. From breathtaking river views to charming small towns, this scenic byway offers adventure at every turn. Explore rich history, savor local flavors, and enjoy outdoor activities like hiking, fishing, and wildlife watching. Kentucky's Great River Road, where the beauty of the Mississippi meets the heart of small town Kentucky. Come for the journey, stay for the experience. Plan your trip today at kygrro.com.
Allen Music, located in historic downtown Paducah, Kentucky, is your source for fine guitars and all types of acoustic instruments. At Allen Music, we are experienced and enthusiastic players of everything we offer. Allen Music is family-owned and has been serving musicians since 1976. So stop by and thank them for supporting bluegrass music. Allen Music, 215 Kentucky Avenue, downtown Paducah, or check them out online at allenmusicshop.com.
Custom Automotive in Calvert City, Kentucky has been a family-operated business for over 50 years. When you call Custom Automotive, you'll talk to an experienced tire and wheel expert. They install wheels and tires on thousands of vehicles every year in addition to their online sales. Stop by and thank them for supporting Bluegrass Music. Custom Automotive, Highway 62, Calvert City, Kentucky, 270-395-7611. Or visit them online at customautoonline.com.
The Lake House Inn at Sled Creek has undergone complete renovation in 2023. Our outdoor space is unlike any other at Kentucky Lake. With two in-ground pools, 18 rooms, and four cabins, we're just a stone's throw away from Kentucky Dam. If you're looking to make memories with your family, this nostalgic inn is for you. Welcome to your lake house, where modern meets rustic and becomes home. Reserve online at lakehouseinn.com.
Your lake house.
Yes, my lake house.
It's the Lake House Inn. Everybody has a lake house if you stay at the Lake House Inn.
Yeah, you're welcome to come stay at my lake house.
That's right.
Well, I grew up here, and so many people have lake houses, and I never had a lake house. Of course, really was big on going in the lake anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Well, we are thankful to our great sponsors, the Lake House Inn and Custom Automotive in Calvert City. And, of course, our presenting sponsor, AllenMusicShop.com. So thankful for them and all they do for music in our area. And if you need a new instrument, if you need sound equipment, if you need anything to do with music, instruments, or even lessons.
Podcast
equipment. Microphones, they've got it at AllenMusicShop.com, downtown Paducah.
If they ain't got it, you don't need it.
Exactly. And we are thankful to our new sponsor, just started this week, the Kentucky Great River Road. If you're not familiar, the Great River Road runs from Itasca, Minnesota, where the Mississippi River starts. And it's so small, you can actually step over it in Itasca, Minnesota.
Really?
Yep. And the Great River Road runs the length of the Mississippi River all the way down to New Orleans. And so the Kentucky segment of the Great River Road is a part of a great tourist attraction here in Western Kentucky. And of course, we sit real close to the Mississippi River, and that's a big part of where we're at right here in far Western Kentucky. So excited for them to be a part of the Hometown Bluegrass Show
absolutely.
Podcast. So. Well, we're so thankful for you and Daryl Mosley for writing this great song. I'll just say, this is off your Modern Day Man album, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so if you brag on him a little bit, if you haven't heard Josh's album, Modern Day Man, I guess that's your latest album.
It's a very modern-sounding record.
It is. It's modern, but it's got, like, it's a real bluegrass album, but it's got a little country twist to it.
Yeah, it's patterned after... what Crow did in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, but also it was produced by Crow.
Right. So. And you're mentioned, that's the album that he was kind of helping Keith Whitley get started with or whatever. So.
That's
but,
right.
But yeah, you're going to hear a little steel guitar. You're going to hear a little drums. You're going to hear some things you might not hear on a normal bluegrass album. But I'm telling you, it's really, to me, it's one of the great albums that I listen to it still all the time.
And, I appreciate that.
I don't listen to it when you're here because that'd be weird. But anyway, but it's a great album. And this song, Prodigal Son, is a super song. I love a song that tells a great story.
Oh, yeah. This is awesome.
Yeah, this is a great one. So how did the song come about with Daryl? Do you remember how you got hold of it? Or?
Well, I first heard it. It was on one of their albums called Stand and Be Counted. And I guess initially, and we'll ask Daryl about this, but initially, by the end of the song, he just died. And Danny Roberts, who was the mandolin player in New Tradition at the time, he basically, they were going over it at his parents' house. And his mom looked at Daryl and said, "You better get that boy saved before he dies." So he rewrote the last verse to where it says, you know, "But I ain't scared because I know Jesus and I know tomorrow I'm going to make it home."
Oh, cool.
And okay. He gave her partial writing credit for that.
Really?
So it's her name is listed as one of the writers.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
That's really neat. So, well, it does tell a great story and it's an awesome song. What key do you do it, the song in? Is there any?
I do it in E, F.
F?
Yes.
No special tuning or anything? Just
not for me. On the record, the banjo tuned down, kind of like a John Hartford sounding mm-hmm. style, you know, just tuned the banjo lower. Scott Vestal played on that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the only difference. Everything else was just played pretty normal.
Mm-hmm. So you play like C formation?
D. D formation. And it's very deformed and
deformation, capo, third fret. Yep, cool.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, let's hear about the prodigal son. Listen to the words of this song.
Yeah, that's right. "Well, excuse me, sir. Would you do me a favor? You see, I need to write a letter, and I never learned to write. Got a mom and dad waiting in Kentucky, and I want to let them know that their boy turned out all right. Started out, dear mama. Well, I know it's been a long time, and I know I should have written you. Times have been tough, but I've been working hard and putting back a little money, and I'm gonna come see you and daddy just as soon as I've saved enough. I bought a little farm, about 35 acres, and I've been working my fingers right down to the bone. 'Cause I met a little girl, her name is Jenny Harper, and we're gonna get married this summer and build a home. So mama, don't you worry about your prodigal son, he's doing all right. Gonna rest when his day is done. And one of these days now, and I pray it won't be long, you'll look up and see your prodigal son's come home." "Well, thank you, sir, for writing down my letter. Now, will you give it to the warden and ask him to put it in the mail? Yes, I know I lied, but I just couldn't stand the thought of my mom and daddy knowing that their boy's lying here in jail.
And I know tomorrow you're gonna come get me, 'cause I've got a date with the hangman's rope at dawn. But I ain't scared, 'cause I know Jesus, and I know tomorrow I'm gonna make it home. So tell her, don't you worry about your prodigal son, he's doing all right, gonna rest when his days are done. And one of these days now, and I pray it won't be long, you'll look up and see your prodigal son's come home. You'll look up and see your prodigal son's come home. Well, excuse me, sir, would you do me a favor? You see, I need to write a letter, and I never learned to write.
Do you have any idea how hard it was for me not to sing? Oh, my gosh. I sing that song all the time. Just
what a great song, man.
It is such a great song. I mean, you know, I love story songs, but then when a song that has a hook like that song, where you don't realize really what's going on, do you kind of, and that's even better, you know.
So. I'll tell you what one of the coolest things in the world is. Playing that song live, and the moment that I start singing, people start clapping and start singing along. Mm-hmm. That's an unbelievable feeling.
Absolutely. I bet. I know you played it one night at Kentucky Opera. Yeah, it's been a couple of years ago, I think, for our Jackson Purchase. But that it happened there. You know, people just, like, that's what they wanted to hear, you know. Mm-hmm. So I know you get asked to play Freeborn Man a lot, but that's probably the song you get asked to play a lot. The most.
Yeah, Freeborn Man's just kind of a show off, really.
Right, yeah.
That's really all it is.
Yeah, exactly.
See how many notes I can play, right. You know, but.
Yeah. But that song gets you in the heart, man.
It does.
You know, gets you right there. So.
And I love watching folks that have never heard it before hear it for the first time live. Because then, you know, talk about him being in jail, and he's like, you know, their face just changes.
Yeah, I know. They think he's just writing his letter, and he's getting married and all these things. And all of a sudden, oh, my Lord, he's in jail. He's about to die.
Yep.
You know, so, yeah, that's so cool. Good job, buddy.
Good job, Daryl.
Yeah, no doubt. Can't wait to talk to him here in a little bit.
And Mrs. Roberts.
Exactly. Well, we'll take another quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Daryl, the man that wrote that song, and plus many other great songs, and several that are out now that are just really topping the charts and doing a great job. And such a great man, great spiritual man, has written a devotional book after the same title of one of his songs, and a super guy. Can't wait to talk to Daryl and all that he's got going on. So we'll take another quick break, and when we come back, we'll see what old Daryl's up to on the Hometown Bluegrass Show.
That's right.
For over 50 years, Puckett's Jewelry in Benton, Kentucky has been a trusted choice for fine jewelry that will last a lifetime and help you celebrate life's most precious moments. The new owners, Bart and Hannah Lewis, are excited to continue the Puckett's Jewelry legacy in Marshall County and are proud to support bluegrass music. Puckett's Jewelry on the square in Benton, Kentucky. Visit them online at puckettsjewelry.com.
Craving the cheesiest pizza in town? Look no further than Mimi's Pizza and Subs in La Center, Kentucky. Our pizzas are loaded with melted cheese and fresh toppings that'll make your taste buds dance. But that's not all. At Mimi's, they have live music, including some of the best bands in bluegrass music. Whether you're a bluegrass fan or just love a good slice, Mimi's Pizza and Subs is your go-to destination. Mimi's Pizza and Subs, where every pizza is a masterpiece.
Looking for your next coffee fix? Come on down to 4th Street Coffee Shop in Wickliffe, Kentucky. This locally owned, female-operated gym is brewing up specialty coffee that's guaranteed to brighten your day. Every cup is made with love right here in your hometown. And if you can't make it to the shop, don't worry. We've got a mobile trailer that brings the deliciousness to you. So whether you're on the go or staying close to home, 4th Street Coffee has you covered. Visit us today and taste the difference of local flavor. 4th Street Coffee, brewing community one cup at a time.
Welcome back to the Hometown Bluegrass Show. Yeah. I am Tim Batts along with...
You are Tim Batts.
I am, and you are...
Josh Williams.
It's nice to meet you, Josh.
Well, unless if you don't like me, then I'm Ralph Stanley II.
Well, I do like you, so you're going to have to be Josh
Williams.
All
right, Williams, cool.
So.
Good deal.
And I really like the guy we got on the phone right now.
I do too, man. I've known him a long time.
I know you have, Mr. Daryl Mosley. How are you, sir?
Oh, man, I'm good. It's great to talk to y'all. Yeah, man. I was friends with Josh when I was taller than he was.
Oh, wow.
That's true.
I don't know
that's
if
so
you know
true.
What you got yourself
that's
into.
Been a minute.
Yeah, you may be sorry you got into this little podcast with us.
No,
it's been fun.
Yeah, well, we're glad to have you. What you been up to? You done anything exciting today?
You know, not much today. I mean, that surprises me because I stay busy. I'm doing about 150 dates a year now on the road, so I'm gone most every weekend, and so Monday's usually my catch-up day around here, you know.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Well, that's good. We record on Monday, so I guess that worked out pretty good. So
it did, yeah.
I just saw on Facebook you drove like halfway across the country overnight or something, in Pennsylvania to Missouri or something. What was that all about?
Yeah, well, that was not something I normally do. I had the weekend booked in Missouri, but there was a date up in Pennsylvania that their artists had canceled, and I'm not sure what happened, but they reached out to me, and they were just really in a bind. And I looked at the mileage, and I'm thinking, man, it's going to be tight, but I think I can make it. So I drove up there. It was just outside of Gettysburg and played on Friday night and then drove all night long. And got to central Missouri where I had Saturday night. So, but
wow.
Like I said, it's not something that I like to do. I don't do it very often, but every now and then, you know, those kinds of things happen. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a young man's deal there, ain't it?
You know, I mean, I travel by myself most of the time anymore, but so far, you know, it doesn't bother me. I mean, the driving, you know, I hold into it pretty well and you know, as you know, I mean, when you spend any time on the road, and certainly Josh would agree, you learn your body pretty well. You learn when you're tired, but you're not too tired. When you are too tired, you need to stop. You know, it's pretty obvious. And so I'm pretty good at being able to read that after this many years.
Yeah, I bet. So when did you and Josh meet? How long ago was that?
Man, Josh was just a kid playing with some of the other bluegrass kids, and I remember thinking, wow, you know, he's such a talented, you know, such talented little guy, you know, and of course, then he grew up to be this monster player that he is, and great, great person, and you know, but being able to see that, you know, kind of from the sidelines and watch him, you know, grow up and develop, that's been kind of cool. I've been able to do that with a few artists, you know. I remember, you know, we met and jammed with Chris Thiele when Chris was about 11.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so being able to be in the industry and seeing some of the younger folks grow into, you know, who they've become, that's been rewarding.
Yeah.
I think it was around the first time I ever saw you guys, you were with the New Tradition, and it was you and Danny Roberts and Fred Duggan and Richie Dotson.
Yeah. Right.
And it was... I want to say 1990,
about right,
90, 91, somewhere around there.
Yeah, that was right at the beginning. We actually went on the road pretty full time in 89, 90, and you know, by 91 we were burning it up pretty good. So yeah, that'd have been about right. How old were you then, John?
Let's see. I would have been I turned 10 that year. In 1990. Yeah, so if it was in 91, I would have been 10 years old until November, and then I would have turned 11.
Yeah, that's about what I would have guessed. Cause, mm-hmm. You know, you were just this tall, thin kid, just and just eat up with it. You know,
oh,
just
yeah.
You could tell. You know, you were just eat up with it, and it, I always said it certainly paid off.
Well, yeah, so far anyway.
He still eat up with it.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing, yeah.
Yeah, he sure is. He's got lots of irons in the fire now with Southern Legacy and all that good stuff. So
they definitely
put together. Well,
that's been the fun thing is, you know, because I can, and I'm not just saying this because I'm on here with you, but, you know, I mean, I'm such a fan and, you know, I enjoy listening to the stuff Josh has recorded. And, you know, it's just, that's fun for me, you know, just to get a chance to sit back as a fan and enjoy some of it.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, that's awesome of you to say, man. Thank you.
So you live in Tennessee?
Yeah. Born and raised and still live. You know, I grew up in a little town of Waverly, which is about an hour west of Nashville. And, you know, I mean, I've traveled for years, but I've never really lived anywhere else. This has always been home. It's where they raised the kids. And It's just been a good place to grow up.
Yeah, absolutely. So did you start young like Josh in the music?
Yeah, well, not in the same way. And I wished I had, because I didn't discover bluegrass till much later. You know, Mom loved gospel music and sang and played a little guitar at church. And so that's really where I started. Dad loved country music. And so, you know, we'd listen to the Opry. And so that was really my first experience with, you know, with those two styles. And I was honestly grown and married. And my wife and I ran into Richie Dodson and his wife in town one night that my wife and her and his wife had gone to school together. And so Richie and I just started talking while they were talking, and the conversation got to music, and I found out he was a banjo player. And then later on in our conversation, he said, "Did you ever listen to any bluegrass gospel?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Have you ever heard of Doyle Lawson and Quicksilver?" And I said, "No." And he loaned me a cassette, and it was Doyle's Rock My Soul album.
Ooh, great.
And about halfway through Sea of Life, I was ruined. You know, that was it. You know, I mean, I'd never heard those types of harmonies with the energy that music provided. And yeah, it was never the same after that.
Well, that's pretty cool. That's a good way to get started.
Yeah, it was, you know, I would have loved to have, you know, to have grown up around it. I see a lot of kids at the festivals and stuff that grow up around it. I mean, I was, you know, I was the bass player in the band because I was hands down the worst musician in the band. You know, I played guitar. I always said I played guitar till I met some guitar players, and all of a sudden I became the bass player. And, but, you know, that's just the truth. But, you know, but I could sing and write songs. And so I kind of found a place within the industry. But I wish I'd been one of those people that discovered it like Josh at, you know, at 8, 9, 10 years old.
Yeah. So have you ever done anything else other than music?
You know, lots of things at different times, you know, when music gets slow, you know, music for over 30 years has been kind of my primary source of income. But I mean, I've built cabinets and run printing presses and worked at a finance company. And, you know, I've a little this and a little that. And even today, I mean, in addition to, you know, being on the road all the time, I'm the director of our local chamber of commerce.
Oh,
and it's mostly computer work. And so I, you know, a lot of it's stuff I can do when I'm, you know, in a hotel room halfway across the country. So yeah, I've always had other things, but, you know, I'm fortunate that, you know, the bulk of my income has been music and continues to be.
Yeah, that's cool. What county is that?
Humphreys County.
Humphreys County.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. We're playing there.
Yeah, I've heard Loretta Lynn World. You know, Loretta
Lynn. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I went to school with the twins, Peggy and Patsy. So, yeah, she's been a part of our life out here for a long time.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I heard you tell the story one time about growing up there and, you know, where it has all the signs that says, you know, you're this far from Loretta Lynn's house or whatever. And you was thinking, you know, you was like, I thought maybe I could get my name coming in, you know, on a sign or something coming into town. And it was the funniest thing, man. I don't know if you remember that story, but it was awesome. I'm sure it was one of those things you had rehearsed, you know, I mean, cause I remember even those, things that you would do with New Tradition, you know, and talk about everybody being in one place, and it was the size of a postage stamp, you know. So I remember those things.
I have, and part of it was, you know, by accident, and it kind of became a little more focused, but, you know, just kind of collected these little Southern colloquialisms, you know, you know, country sayings over the years. And so I've done this for so long now, you know, I'll drop them in a sentence and not even realize it's what I've done. And, but yeah, but how a lot of that happened, I mean, I'd not spent that much time learning how to talk to an audience, but you know, I got in this bluegrass band and, you know, we'd be on stage and we would finish a song and all three of them would turn their back to the audience and tune. And, you know, I'm playing electric bass and I'm sitting here staring at the audience. And so I just started talking and it just kind of developed from there.
Nobody tunes an electric bass anyway, so you're good at that.
No doubt. I mean, you know, that's right. It was tuned when I got it. I mean, what's the problem?
But, exactly.
Did you ever play around Ray Davis at all? Because I remember he was emceeing a festival and Jim and Jesse were playing there and he was standing there kind of waiting on them to come up on stage. And the electric bass player came up and he said, "Oh, here's Jim and Jesse's electric bass. Let's all boo the electric bass." Boo.
That's great.
That's funny.
I'll tell you, when I was working with Bobby and Sonny Osborne and was playing upright, you know, and we had a gig one time at West Point Military Academy and we had to fly up there. And of course I couldn't fly with the upright. And so I was going to bring this electric and Sonny said, "Can you play electric?" And I said, "I can." And he said, "Okay." So we get there and we're on stage and I mean, they're doing the preliminaries. I mean, we're on there. I mean, waiting for the curtain to part really. And Sonny looks at me and he says, "You really can play that thing, right?" I said, "I really can." He said, "Don't lie to me." That's what I'm telling you, Sonny. I'm playing.
Don't you lie to me.
Maybe halfway through the first verse, and I just completely, if I lost the key or something, I just completely dropped it.
Oh,
and he
no.
looked at me and he said, "That's one." Well, I better not get to three.
Oh, my goodness.
But fortunately, I made it through the show. He never said anything else after that, so that's, I guess I did okay.
Funny. Oh, my gosh. Gosh, I miss him. He was awesome.
Oh, man, me too. You know, I was scared when I went to work with them. You know, I mean, I'd been around them, and you know, Sonny was really this intimidating presence, and mm-hmm. could be really direct and sometimes rude to sound people and other people, and so I was really, you know, nervous. And man, he was never anything but gold to me. He was just the best. I mean, he was almost like a father figure, even after, you know, he had retired. You know, if I had some question or something, I was kind of tossing around an idea or something, you know, and I just needed some advice, I'd call Sonny. Because, man, he'd tell me the truth, whether it hurt or not.
Yeah.
You know, he would give me his opinion, and it was just the best. I miss him every day.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. How long did you play with them?
I was with Bobby 10 years. Sonny was there the first four of that, I think. And then, you know, about, I don't know, maybe 2.5-3 years in when he had the rotator cuff surgery. And so he went with about a year. Where he just sang, he didn't play, he just kind of stood there and sang, and I know he hated that.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he finally, you know, he finally quit, and I stayed on with Bobby, you know, after that. But,
yeah.
You know, and then I ended up leaving Bobby thinking that, you know, well, you know, Bobby's older, and you know, it's just a matter of time, you know, Mother Nature's going to get involved, and, you know, we're going to get a phone call and find out that, you know, Bobby's passed away or something, and we don't have a gig, and so we probably should do something else. And of course, and Bobby lives like 17 or 18 years beyond that, still playing, you know, mm-hmm. So what do you know about anybody? But Bobby, you know, not to say anything about Bobby was great to me too. Just such a gentleman and, you know, but it was just a very different relationship with both of them because they were just very different people.
They really were.
But both of them, were, yeah. I mean, you would never know they were brothers if you were around them at all.
They didn't even look alike, but, really.
Yeah.
No, not really. But, you know, that I always said, you know, Sonny got mad 3 times a day and instantly got over it. Bobby got mad once a year and never got over it. And
that's hilarious.
Yeah, that's so true. Mm.
That's
but they were the best, man. I miss them both.
So did they ever sing any songs that you that you wrote?
You know, well, they never did. I actually pitched them a couple they were just about done with an album when I went to work with them and then never really recorded anything after that. So I never really got a chance to pitch them anything. I did write a song that Bobby recorded later on that's basically his career in song. It's called "I've Seen It All." And Bobby did, he did record that on one of his albums, which yeah. I was, that meant a lot hearing Bobby Osborne sing words that I wrote. That meant a lot.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, let's talk about Prodigal Son. You know, that's on Josh's Modern Day Man album. Earlier in the podcast, we touched on it a little bit, and he kind of told a little bit about the story of that. So why don't y'all talk a little bit about that?
Well, I was just mentioning that I guess when you guys were working it up or whatever, you were at Danny Roberts' parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny's mom heard you sing that and said something like, "Daryl, before you kill that boy, before he dies, you better save him." And you went back and rewrote it. So
Yeah, the original verse, you know, was and the last verse just before the hanging, it said, you know, after that it'll all be over. And I changed it to, "But I ain't scared because I know Jesus."
Yeah.
And that was at Danny's mom's, you know, encouragement that, you know, he needs to get right with God before he goes to the gallows. And
yeah.
And it's funny because very, very rarely does anybody ever remember, you know, the other version. So
That's hilarious. And
Josh, I don't know if I've ever really got a chance to tell you, but I absolutely love your version. The first time I ever heard you do it was actually on television. I saw some show that you had taped and you did it on TV. It's the first time I heard it, and it blew me away. It was great.
Well, shoot. Thank you. Well, thanks for the great song, man. I mean, it just tells such an amazing story. That is my number one requested song that I've ever had. And I was telling Tim, the coolest part about it is, you know, you start singing and the people know the song immediately and you start hearing them sing back to you. And it's just like, wow, that is so cool. You know?
Well, I love that. I do. Story songs are just kind of my forte. They always have been. I just love those types of songs that just take you somewhere. And so that, you know, even though this one's, you know, completely fictional, you know, you can just see that guy, you know.
Absolutely.
You can just kind of feel a little bit of what he's feeling. And it means a lot to me that it meant enough to you to record it. I really appreciate that.
Well, I remember when you guys had it out, you know, on the, I think it was Stand and Be Counted album, New Tradition. And I remember hearing it then and thinking, I'm going to record that one day, you know. So I just loved it from the first moment I ever heard it. So.
Well, I appreciate it. I really do.
Yeah, that's a great song. The hook in that song is just so cool.
It's fun to watch the people watching, you know, hearing it for the first time. And then, you know, you say that about my mom and daddy. I just couldn't stand the thought of my mom and daddy knowing that their boy's lying here in jail. And then you just see people's faces drop, you know. It's just like, oh, no.
I know.
That's always the fun part when, you know, when that door opens and they realize, oh, okay, so all of that was not true.
Yeah.
He was just, you know, he was just protecting their heart, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, and that's a sweet moment.
Yeah, that's the cool part of that song. I want to talk about your new single that's just came out. Speaking of storylines, because I'm curious, me and Mr. Howard. Talk about this song. It's about Jesse James, right?
Yeah. Well, on all of my solo albums, I've tried to do one song that is based, you know, historically based in my community, you know, either about an individual that lived here, or on the Dreamers album, I did a song called The Waverly Train Disaster, which actually happened here. But in, I think it's 1877, Jesse James and his brother Frank and the younger brother tried to rob the Northfield, Minnesota bank, and it went horribly wrong. And they split up, and, you know, and some of them got shot. But anyway, they knew they had to lay low for a while. So Frank and Jesse came to Tennessee. Frank moved to Nashville. Jesse and his wife actually moved to Waverly and lived here for a couple of years under the alias of Mr. and Mrs. J.D. Howard. And there's a little bit of, you know, history, a little bit of information about them here. And you know, they rented a farm, although, you know, he really wasn't much of a farmer. But most of what I wrote in the song is true. He built a racetrack here. He raced horses and, you know, but they went to church and they had, you know, little dances and socials in there at their house. And so there were, you know, people that there was rumor that this is who they were, but because it's a different day and they were, you know, fairly law abiding here, they were kind of local celebrities. And so for a couple of years, they lived here one day the word is that they were running from creditors, and I'm assuming that his money had run out. And so they went in the middle of the night, they loaded up and went back to Missouri and resumed his life of crime up until he was killed.
Wow.
But I wrote the song from the perspective of, there was a store owner here, Mr. Link, I think was his name, and that Jesse met when he first came to town. Jesse had this guy had actually loaned him some money to buy some furniture until he could get some other stuff in. And so I wrote it fictionally from his perspective, but as far as the information song, it's as historically accurate as I can write it based on the information that we had.
Right, exactly. Well, that's cool. That's really neat. I played it on my radio show, the Hometown Bluegrass Show. I also do a bluegrass radio show locally and play a lot of your songs on there, but I had to play that one the other day. It was so cool. So,
well, I appreciate it. You know, he did have twins that were stillborn while they were here. They were buried here for a long time, but a few years ago, the James family, whomever they are now, came and exhumed the bodies and moved them to the James Cemetery up in Missouri.
Really?
But,
wow,
yeah,
that's interesting.
But they were actually here for a long time. Yeah.
My goodness. Well, your song, I guess my favorite song that I've heard, and there's so many great ones, but A Life Well Lived is probably my favorite Daryl Mosley song.
Such
a great
that.
Song. I didn't know this until I got on your website in preparation for this podcast, but I noticed that you had also a daily devotional under the same name. Tell me about that. That's awesome.
Well, you know, the song itself actually came from, I mean, I write quite a bit with Rick Lang, and Rick and I, you know, Rick's a great idea man, you know, comes up with lots of things. And one of us, and I can't remember who it was, now saw a meme online that said, you know, if you get advice from an old guy who is eating an apple off, you know, cutting up an apple and eating it off the blade, you should probably adhere to that advice.
Mm-hmm.
And we were laughing about that. And we got to talking about some of the sage advice that we'd received talking to older people. And I mentioned to him talking about, you know, Sonny Osborne again. And so that's where that whole idea for the song came from, you know, that, you know, there's just some kind of rules and things to live by. Well, CD sales obviously are kind of going the way of the covered wagon, you know, and, right. And anybody on the road, you know, merch sales are really important. And, you know, CD sales is, you know, for so many years was the bread and butter of that, and seeing that go away. This is the first time ever that the technology has not replaced the product with a better product. Mm-hmm. You know, we went from cassettes to CDs, and now it's just in the cloud, and it's, you know, it's accessible and it's free to everybody, you know, immediately. And so trying to come up with something to replace the CD sales on the merch table, came up with the idea of the devotional. And it was, you know, just each, it's a 365 day daily devotional, and each of the devotionals are in some way tied to one of the songs I've written over the years.
Wow.
When I first decided to do it, it seemed like a really good idea. Once I got into it, I didn't really fully understand what I had committed to, because it took almost a year to write it. I mean, it was a huge undertaking, and if I'd known going in it was going to be that difficult, I'm not sure I would have done it. But once I got started, and you know, I mean, I would put myself on a schedule. You know, I've got to write 10 of these this week, or I've got to write 3 of these today. You know, just pushing myself to try to finish it. And when I finally got done and got it out, I mean, it's been such a blessing. I mean, people have really said some really wonderful, sweet things about it, and you know, and it sells really well off the table, and so it's done everything that I hoped it would do. But I get, more importantly than even that, you know, just the comments I get from the fact that people are actually reading it, that it actually matters to them, that there's actually things in it that's worth, you know, hanging on to, that means so much.
Well, sure. Absolutely. It takes your music to the next level. You know, the music can touch people's hearts, and it does all the time, but this is just another step that can even make an impact or make a difference in somebody's life as well. So, man, I applaud you for that. That's amazing.
Well, that's been the strange thing. It's kind of everything kind of it's kind of come circle, you know, full circle. That, I mean, I don't sell it. I mean, you can get it on Amazon, but I don't really sell it in stores. I mean, I self-published it. you know, because I knew that the most reason anybody would want to read it was because they were familiar with my, you know, with my music. But what I'm finding is that people that are buying the book, and it's bringing them back to the music, that they'll see the song that this devotional, this particular one's written about. And so they want to chase that song down. And so it's actually, one is kind of feeding the other, and I didn't really expect that. So that's that's been a really nice extra thing.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Well, you've got some more great music coming out with your new album. Let's get folks hyped up about your new stuff coming out in October.
Yeah, October 4th, the new album, Long Days and Short Stories, comes out. This will be my fourth album in 5 years, and that, which is a lot. But it's just all, you know, it's just more original songs, more story songs. I've got a couple of things that I'm extra special, you know, extra special to me about it. That I got a song on it that Jeff and Sherry Easter came in and sang on it with me. And of course, I'm such a huge fan of theirs, you know, growing up listening to gospel music and discovered their music when I was just a young adult. And so, you know, they've been wonderful. but Josh, you'll love this. I actually got the old band back together best I could and got New Tradition in the studio.
Oh,
and we cut a song that'll be on the new album. And Fred, who doesn't really play anymore, so but Ken White, who actually took Fred's place when he left our band back in the mid-90s, Ken White came in and played and sang. So it's me and Danny Roberts, Richie Dodson, and Ken White. And it's the first time that New Tradition had been in the studio recording in, gosh, probably 25 years. Mm-hmm. So that was awesome. A fun day. It was great.
And so I'm so happy that Richie's playing again.
Union shows. Yeah, Richie's playing really well, you know, playing a lot. And, you know, we got invited last summer to do a reunion concert down in Texas. And Richie, who hadn't played in a lot of years, got really inspired by that. So he started just really woodshedding and, you know, getting his chops back, and he's playing good. And, you know, he came in the studio the day we recorded this and picked great. And it's, you know, he's semi-retired now. So he's kind of able to get more focused in music again. Yep. And I'm glad, cause he, you know, he loves it. And, you know, there's no better guy ever than Richie Dodson. And,
oh, I know it.
And we're blessed that, you know, even though the band hadn't been together since the late '90s, we've all stayed friends and remained, you know, fairly close all these years. And I'm grateful for that.
Well, the album's called Long Days and Short Stories and comes out October the 4th. Is that the title track of that song? Is there a song called that, or is that just the name of the album?
No, there's not. I probably should write one now. the first single came out of I guess 2-3 months ago, and it was When the Good Old Days Were New, that got a lot of airplay and did real well. Like I said, the Mr. Howard song is out now, and I just hope that if folks like it, if they've listened to the other albums, this is kind of more the same. And I've always appreciated that with artists. I told Tim Stafford one time that one of the things I love about Blue High is that it feels like that the next album picked up where the last album left off. It's like another chapter in a book that you really love.
Yep.
And so I'm hoping that these albums do the same thing for people that enjoy the story songs and that sort of thing, that it is what they expect, you know, that they get what they expect to get.
Absolutely. Well, we can't wait to hear all the great songs on there. We love playing a song from, you know, as we let you go and appreciate your time. Is there a song that we could play to kind of close out this podcast with, one of your favorites or a song you'd like to hear us play and promote for you?
Well, you know, if you want to play A Life Well Lived, that would be fine. That kind of sums up everything. That was the title of the current album, the title of the book. So that would be fine with me.
Well, great. Well, that's awesome. I'll love that choice, because that's definitely one of my favorites. But so many great songs that you've written over the years. And Prodigal Son's up there pretty high, though.
Oh, it is. Yeah. You know, Danny Roberts and Richie both, to this day, still tell this story about you guys being on a bus and one of them said something about, you could probably write a song about a little red wagon, and you went back to the back of the bus and came back up with a song about a little red wagon and how it was a gift from your dad, and then your dad passed away and all you had left was, you know, that wagon. And it was like, they still talk about that. I don't know if you even remember doing that, but Yeah, that was, they still tell me about that. He said he went back there and he wrote a song about a little red wagon that made us all want to cry.
That's funny. Well, you know, the strange thing is that, you know, when I first started with New Tradition, and we knew we were smart enough to know that we couldn't do cover songs. We had to have new songs. And I mean, none of us knew where you get new songs. And so I just started writing them because I didn't know what else to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we dig out album cuts off country albums and stuff. And so I was just writing songs because I just thought that's what everybody did. I didn't think anybody can do this. You know, it took me a while to realize later on to really learn to respect the craft. And, you know, I've often said that songwriting is really part gift and part craft. And I'm thankful that God blessed me with the gift and the ability to write. But the craft part belongs to me. It's up to me to work at it to see how, you know, to work at and invest in learning the craft and be as, you know, to be as good a songwriter as I can be. And that continues to be a lifelong process. But I'm grateful that I had New Tradition in those early days, you know, that allowed me to, you know, to write some good songs and some not so good ones, you know, to kind of get started learning how to do that.
Well, you've done a great job. So many great songs and, lots of years of great music, and I hope we've got lots more years of more to come from you, buddy.
Well, I hope so, too. I've been very blessed. And so I thank you guys for having me tonight. This has been great.
Man, yeah. Thank you for doing it. This has been a blast.
Yeah, we appreciate you so
much. Really good to catch up with you.
We love you. We love your music, and you keep burning that road up with all them dates, all right?
Man, I'll do it. As long as they'll have me, I'll keep going out there. So.
Well, that sounds good. Well, we'll finish off and let you go with a life well lived, and you've lived a good one, buddy, and we appreciate you so much.
That's right. Thank you very much.
All right, guys. Thank y'all so much.
All right. See you, Daryl.
Bye, buddy.
He was peeling an apple, sitting in the shade, eating those green slices right off the blade. Grandpa was what you might say, a quiet man, but there was so much wisdom neath that farmer's tan. I said, I wanna be just like you when I'm grown. He handed me an apple, said, this is all I know. Choose the road less traveled every time you can. Try to find the good things in your fellow man. Never hesitate to stand up for the weak. And the bigger man's the one who turns the other cheek. If you can say I'm sorry and learn how to forgive, well, then you've had a life well. Determined by what you possess, you know a dollar bill won't buy you happiness. Take time to show others just how much you care, 'cause love is something you have plenty of to share. No one else can tell you what your life is worth. Just thank God for the blessings of each day upon the earth. Choose the road less traveled every time you can. Try to find the good things in your fellow man. Never hesitate to stand up for the weak. And the bigger man's the one who turns the other cheek. If you can say I'm sorry and learn how to forgive, well, then you've had a life well. If you can make each moment count and give more than you get, then you can turn the page with no regrets. Choose the road less traveled every time you can. Try to find the good things in your fellow man. Never hesitate to stand up for the weak. And the bigger man's the one who turns the other.
other cheek. If you can say I'm sorry and learn how to forgive, well, then you've had a life well lived. Then you've had a life well lived.
Is that not a great song?
That is a great song.
Man.
By a great songwriter.
I play that all the time. I love that song. It just sticks in you, and just what a great message, and the melody, and the fiddle in that song. Wow.
Yeah. I believe that's Ronnie Stewart, who it sounded like.
Really?
Yeah. Sounded like Ronnie Stewart on the fiddle.
You can tell by just the way it sounds, huh?
And it kind of sounded like Danny Roberts and Richie Dotson on there, too, so there's a good chance that that could have been those boys.
Yep.
The old New Tradition boys.
What a great... great guy. I mean, we've had some great guests on here, but man, he ranks at the top. He's not only songwriting ability, but just a super guy, man.
Great singer. Way better singer than he gets credit for.
Yeah, he is a good singer. Really good voice. So,
in fact, he even had, during his tenure of New Tradition, he ended up having to leave the band for a while because of throat issues. You know?
Really?
Yeah. He had lost his voice at one point and had nodules on his vocal cords and stuff, and... but he was able to rest up, and it wasn't very long. He rejoined the band. And
wow.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad he's back because he sure sounds better than ever, and lots of great stuff coming out. So be sure and watch for his new album coming out October the 4th, Long Days and Short Stories. Going to be lots of great songs on there. So speaking of great songs, well, we've come to another end of a great podcast. Southern Legacy, your band, working yes. on some great music. You played me a little something before we got on the air tonight, and man, it's going to sound good, y'all.
Oh, so excited about it.
They got new music coming out, Southern Legacy, and they're going to be September 19th in Kodak, Tennessee, to Dumplin Valley Bluegrass Festival. November the 9th at Palatka, a real popular festival there. Mm-hmm. And
Palatka, Florida.
Yep. So you guys be sure and get out. Check out some live music. Check out Southern Legacy, and be sure and tell them you heard about them on the Hometown Bluegrass Show.
That's so, right.
But another great episode, man. It's been a good one. Been a good one.
It's
you great loved your singing your great song,
Prodigal Son.
Prodigal Son, no, man. You. It's just such a good song, and love that part of the show for sure. So
yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Yep.
So. But it takes amazing songwriters. To make amazing songs, and that's just one of them.
It does, that's for sure. Starts with that, and it ends with a great singer. So,
well, thank you.
Well, thank y'all for listening to the Hometown Bluegrass Show, presented by
AllenMusicShop.com.
See y'all later.
Take care.
This has been a Bats Creative Audio production.